Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this? Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined today by friend of the show. Now that you've been on a few times, we can officially give you that title now. The show's favorite NBA insider, I think, is what your title is going to be. Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports. He has the No Cap Room podcast on the Ball Don't Lie podcast network. Thank you very much, man, for hopping on. We're about to tip off the finals, which means we are only a couple weeks from the offseason. I know you're swamped, and I appreciate you coming on nonetheless.
You got it, man. Thanks for having me. You pronounce your name Anthony. Was that intentional? Is that how I'm supposed to refer to you now?
No, just a speech impediment.
I didn't know if you became British because the Lakers flamed out up in the Western Conference Finals.
It would be funny just to take on, remember like Madonna back in the day, like randomly started talking with like a British accent. Yeah. I'd have to work on it a lot more to do it, but yeah. I see the Eagles hat in the background and you did move your camera to give us the podcast, background that we have on it. It's going to work great now that this stuff is on YouTube. So for those of you listening, this is on YouTube as well. Subscribe there. But let's dive in. We only have a quick little bit here. And the Lakers, like you mentioned, season ended in the Western Conference Finals in the version of a sweep and have a ton of decisions lined up for them across their roster. There's some restricted free agents in Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura. There's some actual free agent stuff here with D'Angelo Russell. And then it just kind of all falls into place from there. I saw that you wrote about it already for Yahoo Sports. A lot of that stuff, I think, no real surprises there quite yet. Finding out that the Lakers are obviously really focused on bringing back Reeves and Rui, but the D'Angelo Russell market is, really difficult to nail down. He isn't a $30 million player, but he therefore needs the Lakers to and another team to get that number up to anywhere close to that. But the Lakers also need D'Angelo Russell just as much as he needs them, because they can't have him walk away for nothing and lose that cap spot for nothing. So what are you hearing so far about D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah. So with Russell, as someone calls me.
Is it D'Angelo Russell?
It's not D'Angelo Russell. It was a G League general manager.
Okay.
So
speaking of D'Angelo Russell, is he interested?
So Russell wanted, from everything I heard, a 4-year, $100 million extension from Minnesota. And knowing that price point that he was looking at, I think played a factor in the Timberwolves wanting to move on from him. That's a factor in a lot of trade deadline transactions where, Jakob Poeltl gets moved to Toronto when the Spurs, are not exactly, keen on hearing the numbers he wants coming up for free agency. Mm-hmm. So it's not a foreign concept to D'Angelo, but for him to want that much money and for there to not be that much of a market for him, I think is definitely one of the more individual circumstances we're going to have this offseason where, Fred VanVleet, who's definitely going to be a popular name that you hear about as a sign and trade candidate for the Lakers to replace D'Lo with. Like, he's going to have a wealth of offers, I think, at least a wealth of interest. And a lot of these things are going to be dependent on how the carousel spins and who goes where first. And we'll work our way down the line from marquee guys. So I feel like a lot of D'Angelo situation could be directly tied to Fred VanVleet, regardless of if there's a real Lakers thing there. I don't know yet. I haven't really done enough research on it, but I just, from where I sit right now talking to you, I'm not expecting there to be like a wealth of interest from Toronto in taking back D'Angelo, unless the Raptors just want to get back something for him leaving to play the cap game, which in that scenario, just like with the Lakers, and this is kind of going to bring my point to a close, I think, because again, we don't know how it's going to unfold. It's just way too early. We don't know what all the moving parts are going to shake into. My educated guess right now is wherever D'Lo does end up, I think it'll be, as I wrote in the story, I think it'll be a short-term deal, something like around 2 years, $40 million, maybe, where the second year is either a team option or it's a player option or it's half guaranteed, something to that effect, where it gets him close to that salary figure that he wants, but it's not exactly a massive undertaking from a team side of things. And it can also kind of be like a bet on yourself scenario for him. So that's where I'm expecting it to end, just on a dollar figure for him. If it's in Los Angeles, I do think that also continues to give them the opportunity to trade that contract moving forward. You get him at least at a palatable number where, you know, you are going to need him at this juncture in the regular season just to get through that 82-game gauntlet. Like, they ended up, you know, relying on Patrick Beverley for a large stretch of the season. You know, this
I remember.
Yeah.
I was trying not to remember, but
I think that's a good general overview of that situation.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on the kind of structure there with Russell, right? That a 2 year deal, maybe with like a partial guarantee in the second year or a team option there in the second year, that allows whoever trades for him to look at that as an expiring contract if he does remain with the Lakers through to the deadline. The Lakers, you know, it's already been leaked a couple times that they liked what they saw from him on and off the court. And that is certainly helping there. The relationship right now seems a lot better than it did the first time they traded him away or were looking to maybe trade him away. So that is helpful. But yeah, you're absolutely right in pointing out just there's just not much interest for a late 20-year-old point guard who is making the kind of money that he was making before, isn't really going to improve from here from this point forward, and isn't exactly good enough to be like a cornerstone acquisition in the offseason. So it is kind of a uniquely tough spot for him to be in here, and that's usually where you see these guys bet on themselves. It's in this kind of spot where they'll say like, all right, screw it, let's go and let's prove that I'm worthy of a greater market maybe a year or 2 years from now. Speaking of betting on themselves, one situation here that I haven't seen brought up, I don't think, quite often enough here, and I mentioned it on the show with Aaron as it pertains to Austin Reeves, is he is going to be underpaid. From what I've kind of heard, there's some kind of rumbling around the league that the market for him has kind of festered because everybody knows the Lakers are just going to match whatever contract is he's signed to. What does help him here is that it is only one day versus the 3 days it used to be to make a decision and match on that contract. So money isn't tied up for quite as long. But still, it looks like if he signs that four-year, $56 or $55 million contract with the Lakers, he's going to be pretty well below market value at that rate. And it makes me wonder if he might wind up taking a shorter-term deal to hit the open market next year or the year afterward. Have you heard anything about that?
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think that's a good wonder by you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I am willing and able to say right now is I do think that if that situation presents itself and he's going to be staring at that max of 451, whatever it is, based off of the Gilbert Arenas rule, what he'll be limited to. Mm-hmm. I think there will absolutely be conversations about different mechanics of how that will work. Mm-hmm. I mean, for an undrafted guy out of Arkansas to have
this conversation is nuts.
And to get $1 million guaranteed, I think will also be hard for him to sniff at. But these are decisions that don't just come down to one guy at the end of the day. There's like full marketing teams and cap guys and analytics guys on each side, like on the agency side of things, and different advisors giving different inputs, and there'll be different projections on how the cap will jump, and everyone's trying to time things with the new TV deal coming out upcoming in 2025. So does it make more sense to time things so you get back into free agency in 2 years as opposed to in four or three? Or will it be will be more lucrative to get it back out in 26 as opposed to 25, like all that type of stuff. I think that will be a conversation that pretty much every player who's like 27 or younger, who like knows they have at least one more contract upcoming, especially guys who are looking for that first big payday. Some like Max Strus and Gabe Vincent in Miami too. I think they're going to have to really think about, I was undrafted. Do I take this opportunity now as a free agent coming off a run of the finals where I bake myself, a good 4-year deal that gets myself and my family long-term security? Or do I, further gamble on my opportunities to, increase my earning potential moving forward? Someone like Dante DiVincenzo, who, was pretty much guaranteed a deal in like the 4-year, $60 million range before he got hurt in Milwaukee. They go on a finals run. He ends up, petering out and getting traded. Sacramento doesn't even give him the qualifying offer he signed at the mid-level this year. Dante
plays really well.
And plays really well. Like, he's going to have to think about, I basically lost $60 million because of an injury. Like, do I take my payday now if it even presents itself to me? Do I try to get back into free agency in a short-term period? I don't think that's a rare circumstance for what Austin's going to be facing. I think just like all those other guys, it's going to be very warranted for him to have those conversations with his people.
Yeah, it's Austin's situation. He's already bet on himself, right? He told teams not to draft him so that he could kind of hand select the situation that he wanted for himself. He has spoken about why he chose the Lakers when that opportunity did wind up presenting itself. And he's made good on gambling on himself to this point. It wouldn't shock me, to be completely honest, if he decided to make that same kind of gamble all over again. Rui's a tougher one. I don't really know. This one's a little bit more. It's tougher because he's going to be making more money, I think. But it's a little bit more straightforward because the Lakers can make the biggest offer to him. I still think he probably comes in that like 4-year. Say $70+ million range is kind of what I thought. But I also think with him, a 2-year deal on whatever money that the Lakers can give him there that allows him to get back out into an open market again, and it would be easier for him to make that decision. He has more money already in his bank account because of his rookie deal, and he can be paid more per year. you mentioned the likelihood there with Austin, and I think that's because of some of the limitations that the Lakers have. But some of the freedom here might lead to Rui taking that similar path forward as well.
Possible. I mean, I wrote in that article, you know, he wanted something at the time of those early bird extension talks with Washington before this past season in the 4-year 60 range. Mm-hmm. So the Lakers, like every
which
team,
which is way below market. Like he's a $20 million player, I think. Yeah.
Now, yeah. So that's kind of my point. Like the Lakers, just like every team who would have traded for him, you know, Phoenix was right there at the finish line with a 3-team deal in Milwaukee that would have put Crowder there earlier than that February 9th, you know, Horn went off. Like all those, every team in the league, they're looking at what, you know, Sadiq Bey wanted in free agency, what Acapulco wanted, as I said him earlier. So the Lakers trading for him and giving up draft capital kind of just showed their cards that they were at least willing to value him at that number. Yeah. They weren't going to give up that capital and not retain him. Yep. Then he goes on the run he did in the playoffs, arguably, you know, the third or fourth most important player on, you know, where you rank him in Reeves. That's got to be the floor for him at this point. I think, yeah, pushing 20 something, you know, I wrote in the stories that Josh Hart's number is being thrown around as like something in the $17, $18 million range. That kind of makes sense to me from a comparable standpoint at the market Rui could be looking at.
The Lakers have a draft pick. They have the number 17 pick in this year's draft, and then they have 47, I believe, in the second round. And they usually wind up buying a pick every year. And in a draft as deep as this one, it wouldn't surprise me to see them do so again, especially now that second rounders are apparently, you know, able to be thrown together in 3 or 4 second round pick things that return actual talent. So it would be interesting to see how they approach that. But that pick that they have this year, Mo Bamba's contract is fully not guaranteed next year. And they have this 17th pick here in this year's draft. And again, somehow went to the Western Conference Finals. It seems like the kind of team that you would want to gamble on and see if you can get more immediate help if possible. Are you hearing anything on the trade market for the Lakers as they look to kind of bolster a roster that, you know, Malik Beasley didn't play in like the second round and further. D'Angelo Russell obviously struggled as well. Mo Bamba didn't play at all in the playoffs. So like what are you hearing as far as the Lakers trade opportunities here?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
I fully expect they'll look at what the Malik Beasley, Mo Bamba contracts combined can go get them during the draft trade talks for sure. I also think that they're pretty interested at the idea of getting someone at 17 who could potentially be an impact player while on a rookie scale contract.
Yeah.
I do think from conversations I've had, I think LA is like confident that there will be some talented players there. I mean, I haven't fully dove into the draft, you know, world yet at this stage, but like from everything I've heard so far, there's a clear drop off right after the top three. Everyone knows that. Then there kind of is like a total, you know, gray area between like 8 and 20. So I think teams like the Lakers in that range could absolutely come around on draft night. They're on the clock and someone they had like 8th on their board is there. And that's a really intriguing person to have on your roster on a rookie scale situation when you've got, you know, all these big paydays we're talking about when, you know, the second apron comes into play. And I really think that new second apron in this new CBA, I really think the Lakers are going to try to avoid that this season if possible.
Yes.
That's basically been communicated to me as like a marching order. So I don't know if that's like an ironclad situation, but it does seem like that's a clear goal and a directive to not cross that second apron this year. Which is makes
that
sense.
Is that like the norm that you're hearing across the league? Because it feels like the owners or governors or whatever somehow slid under everybody's noses, essentially a hard cap. That second apron feels like, for a lot of teams or whatever, something that nobody wants to dip into.
There are certain teams that are just going to do it because they're there, like Golden State. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think they're unwilling to be there if they really think they've got a chance at making, you know, another championship run. Milwaukee's fully invested in trying to compete with Giannis Antetokounmpo, mm-hmm. and like try to retain him and sign him to a contract extension again. So I think, you know, they're not going to be, you know, shy about spending in order to do so. The Clippers, the same thing. Like, they've been so deep with Kawhi and Paul George. I've heard, I mean, with all the rumblings and rumors we heard about Bob Myers throughout the last 6 months, like, just kind of sounds like they're going to stay the course. Kawhi and Paul George, if they're healthy finally, maybe someday, mm-hmm. that they can, you know, have the talent to make a run. They refused pretty much any overture for Ty Lue, this spring. I expect everyone's saying they're going to make an internal elevation to replace Michael Winger. I think someone I talked to today even suggested that might even be done already. So I think the Clippers are going to stay the course. I don't think like the second apron all of a sudden is going to change things for them too much. Will we see a lot of teams make some cost clearing moves, between now and the starting training camp? I think there will be more, just like marginal salary money moving that happens before the league calendar flips on June 30th. And I think before training camp too, because now another new stipulation of the CBA is you got to reach the salary floor before training camp starts. So I think we will see some like moving parts, but I don't think we're going to see like effectively a hard cap here right now. Nope. I think when teams get that close, it's going to be kind of a danger zone.
That's interesting. That has my wheel spinning a little bit, and unfortunately here, this is, you know, kind of sort of we're up against the nitty gritty here. So the last quick thing before we get you out of here, the Lakers, you know, they have a path to run it back. They have a path to essentially just kind of make some tweaks here and there, and then the one option that they have that doesn't seem very plausible or practical from where I'm sitting is like, you know, the Kyrie thing, the Fred VanVleet thing, the big name, like third star approach here. If you had to cut it up into a pie chart, where would you say the majority of your pie would sit between those three options?
I mean, the run it back is going to take precedence for sure. And I think with D'Lo, it's going to be a thing, like a series of a bunch of variables, you know. Like, I'll put it this way. Dennis Schroeder, who obviously won his way back into the hearts and minds of Lakers fans, you know, mm-hmm. if certain things broke a different way for him in that free agency after he, you know, didn't come to extension agreements with the Lakers, you know, he might have been able to, you know, gotten that Spencer Dinwiddie contract in Washington or another situation. But, you know, one guy goes here, another guy goes there, a third guy goes to this third team, and all of a sudden – all of your options you thought you had are dried up, or for a team, you know, all of a sudden the options you thought you had are dried up and you kind of have to go with the best player on the board. I mean, Charlotte a couple years ago, I think it was 2020 or 2021, you know, there was Nerlens Noel looking for his contract and Rashawn Holmes and a couple other centers who thought that like they were going to be up for a 4-year, $80 million deal with Charlotte. And then the Hornets draft night went and traded for Mason Plumlee. And he's starting center. So there's a lot of things that can change, that can shift the marketplace with D'Lo that I think, you know, he'll have to be, and how the Lakers handle him will be in response to that. The Rui Austin stuff, sure, like other teams potentially throwing an offer sheet can, you know, change some things or expedite certain parts of the plan. But those are mostly things within their control that I think will get controlled and get done.
All right. Well, thank you very much, man, for hopping on again. Yahoo Sports Review is where you can find all of Jake's stuff. Also, check out the No Crap Room podcast as well. Again, this is the insider for the Lakers Lounge. There's nobody else that we would trust with this amount of information. Thank you very much, Jake, for hopping on.
Appreciate you, Anthony.
Best of luck, man. I can't wait for your coverage.